following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome everyone to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. We are here today to wrap up the Packers victory over the Carolina Panthers, 24-16, the same exact score as last year's victory over the Carolina Panthers. How wild. Different game, different players, different, I mean, the Panthers are such a different team now. And we'll get into all of that. We'll touch on the good, the bad, the special teams, because there's a lot to go over. A little bit of a different game for the Packers. The offense struggled mightily in the second half. They went up 21-3 in the second quarter, and that was about it. That was the last time the Packers found the end zone. They were only able to tack on another 3 points in the second half. Mason Crosby hit a field goal. What the heck happened, Spoon?
Yeah, you know, I'm somewhat caught between whether they how much to rip them for their performance and how much to understand that there's going to be a December stinker. Most teams play it. It's late in the year. They hardly practiced. They're on a short week. There's been a bunch of teams that have struggled against Carolina because they run a system that's nobody has really studied or had time to study. And so there's been a bunch of teams that have not done well. But then on the other hand, I'm a little bit disturbed at their fascination, I guess obsession would be a better word, with passing it. And I, you know, it was almost like they were trying to solidify Rodgers' MVP by throwing the ball and trying to get that going, when really running the ball was what got them to the 21-3 lead. And they kind of just got away from that. So it was, you know, Matt LaFleur is usually not like that. He usually learns his lesson. So we'll see how that plays out in Tennessee.
Aaron Jones picked up 114 rushing yards in the first half, including a 46-yard gain that set up the Packers for their first touchdown of the night. In the second half, Jones only had 31 rushing yards, and that was the bulk of the offense's production in the second half. They were only able to pick up 49 yards total in the second half. Running back Jamal Williams exited the game pretty early on with a hip injury, leaving just Jones and A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon got a series in there and had a big 18-yard game, but we didn't really see a whole lot from him last night. How much did Williams' departure impact what head coach Matt LaFleur aspired to do on offense?
Yeah, good question, because that's what I wrote my column on. I actually think it did have an effect, because you could see early on they were using Jones and Williams in the backfield together. Now, they sometimes just do that to throw a wrinkle at it. But if it works, then you tend to stick with it. And it did work. And then, you know, Jamal Williams was kind of really productive in the times he had the ball. He had a 12-yard reception and a 6-yard run, and he looked real physical the way he was playing. And I sort of feel like once they got to only Aaron Jones, I think LaFleur made reference to it, Carolina kind of figured out what kind of runs were coming when Aaron Jones was in the game. Different, a little different than Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams, a little different back, more take it right up into the hole, and Jones a little more dancing. So he never went to A.J. Dillon, who, that kind of surprised me too, who's a different kind of a back and probably excels at different run plays. So that all of that was something that they got to look at real hard.
I think you wrote about this in your keys to the game ahead of the game. Spoon was looking at maybe the Packers using more two back personnel groupings in an attempt to sort of throw off the Panthers defense and try to get Williams or Jones the ball through the air as receivers, as we know that they're capable of doing. The Panthers had struggled going up against pass catching running backs. Granted, Saints running back Alvin Kamara is going to give just about anyone an issue, but in the Panthers game against the Saints, Kamara had 65 receiving yards. Austin Eckler, the Chargers, he had 85 receiving yards in the Chargers game against the Panthers. How surprised are you that they didn't try to target Jones more, at least in the passing game? He only had 3 receptions for 13 yards.
Yeah, that's why I was a little surprised they didn't go to Dylan and Jones in the second half. And I kind of think like that might have made a difference, because you got with a guy like Dylan, you've got to be able to protect up front, you know, protect against this power running back, but then you also have to cover Jones. And they never went to that. And I think LaFleur will probably admit that he might have made a mistake not doing that. I thought, you know, that when I did write that, knowing how they play this zone defense, and it's kind of a weird, I think Rodgers described it as a 3-5-3 college kind of a defense. It is soft, and you've got to sometimes just chip away at it. And I thought they got a little greedy, and then there were times they just tried to force it to Davante Adams. And the way to soften that up is to hit your running backs for gains until they make some kind of a change.
Davante Adams was targeted 10 times last night, 7 receptions. A couple of them were drops, the incompletions, 42 yards, no touchdowns. So first game in a little while that Davante Adams has not found the end zone. And it's his least productive game since week 2 against the Detroit Lions. And he was injured in that game. He came out halfway through that game with the ankle injury that kept him sidelined for a couple games. So, I mean, why couldn't the Packers find a way to get Adams more involved last night?
Yeah, I'll answer that. Then I'm going to rant for a minute.
Boy, let's go.
First, you know, there's going to be games when a team just decides they're going to take Davante Adams away from you. And so what are you going to do to counter that? What are you going to take advantage, since they're devoting 2 guys to Davante Adams? You got to pull them out of that double coverage. And it seemed like they never did. They never could get Valdez-Scantling open. They couldn't crack whatever zone coverage Carolina was running, because from what my vantage point, I didn't see guys getting open. Now, there was pressure on Rodgers, but, you know, we've seen him get out of pressure and find guys. Even when he got out of the pressure, I didn't see guys open. So they have to do a better job of that. And then, you know, in those situations when you're getting doubles, you got to run the ball. You got to just run them out of those zone coverages, those double coverages. So my rant is, you know, I think Davante Adams is arguably the best. He's the best wide receiver in this year. I mean, he's having the best season, I think, of anybody in the league, and you can't take that away from him. But I saw some stat from PFF. I'm not even going to say who they are, but it said that he had no drops this year. And I'm like, what games are you watching? He had a drop in the very first game against Minnesota on the goal line, and he talked about it. He talked about 2 drops that he had, and he has had a good number of drops. It's not extraordinary, and it's not killed the Packers. But it's just a fact, and that's really bothers me when I see these analytics places and they just want to hype up a guy. And I'm sorry, that just wasn't the case. And he had 2 drops yesterday. So, it didn't kill him. And this isn't to say that he's not a great player. He is a great player. But let's also be honest about it. Okay, there's my rant.
That's fair. Davante Adams, 10,000% deserves the hype. However, he's also human and makes mistakes and has made mistakes this season.
He admits it, too. I mean, he's his biggest critic, you know, he does. He'll tell us, I consider that a drop. And we're like, oh, okay, it didn't look that bad to me. But so I'm done.
Rant taken, point taken. Thank, I hope, appreciate it. It's a safe space for you, Spoon. We appreciate
it. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I just have to go off on a tangent, you know.
All good. Well, let's continue. I mean, you mentioned the pressure that Aaron Rodgers faced last night. The offensive line, I'm not going to pin it all on the offensive line because it wasn't. Rodgers acknowledged the fact that some of these sacks that he took last night were coverage sacks. But Rodgers going into the game had 13 sacks all season and then 5 sacks last night. So that's the most he has been sacked all season. It's the most he's been sacked, especially since week 6 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he took 4 sacks. What do you chalk it up to?
Well, there were some individual bad games. Lucas Patrick got manhandled a couple times, albeit by a really up-and-coming defensive lineman. You know, a 7th pick in the draft, Derek Brown, who, I mean, he was really impressive. And he threw Patrick around a couple times, and then there were some leakage, you know, on the edge a little bit, and Carolina blitzed a lot. I thought they handled the blitz really well. Aaron Jones had a really good blocking game. I think guys weren't open. That's my assessment of it. I don't think the offensive line was horrible. There's going to be games you're going to give up pressure, but there's got to be outlets for Rodgers, and I kind of felt like there were.
So all in all, offensively, not good. Definitely not good. A good start on offense for this team. However, the stats ultimately sort of reflect like an average and okay game. However, after the game, you would think that this team lost. just by the way that Aaron Rodgers was speaking, Matt LaFleur was speaking, and for good reason. This wasn't a good offensive performance by this team, but as the Packers have 2 more games left in the regular season, they're gearing up for the playoffs. How concerned should they be about their performance last night offensively, you know, when they're going to be facing a good team in the Tennessee Titans next week and better teams in the playoffs?
Yeah, it has to prove to be an aberration. It has to be, you know, they have to prove that this was just one of those games. You can't be on top of your game every single game. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the short week, the lack of practice time, you have to prove that was the case and come back against Tennessee and have a really big game. And there is no game on their schedule, save for maybe New Orleans early on, where their offense has to score to keep them in the game, because Tennessee's run game is you have to keep them on the sideline. You've got to keep Derrick Henry on the sideline, and you have to turn them, you know, if you can get ahead so that they have to pass the ball, then you're winning. So if there's a game where they need to show that they are that 30 plus scoring team again, this is it. And it'll be a great test. All the pressure will be, well, not all the pressure, a lot of pressure will be on the offense to outscore the Titans.
The offense simply lost their firepower last night. They were averaging 31.5 points per game heading into last night. And now 24 points they were able to post against the Carolina Panthers. They finished with a third down percentage, 42%, which, if you know, we're going by offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett's definition of a playoff team, then I suppose that's a playoff offense. However, the standard is the standard. They have set the standard, and that was not the standard that they've set this season. So a lot for them to evaluate going forward. The
not
defense,
to mention they were 4 of 6 in the first half.
Yeah. 4 of 6 in the first half, 1 of 6 in the second half. So night and day, not so great for the Packers offense last night. Looking at the Packers defense, however, you know, we've spoken a lot, you know, what would happen? How likely is it that the Packers defense would be able to quote unquote win a game? Because it really hasn't happened much this season. And it was something that they were very good at. They were really good in the red zone last season. And the opportunity finally came for this Packers defense, for better or for worse, and they managed to stand pat in the red zone when they needed to. 1 of 5 in the red zone, the Panthers were last night. And a really huge play by undrafted free agent rookie inside linebacker Chris Barnes on the goal line to, you know, have the IQ, the football IQ, to know to try to know that the quarterback sneak was coming on the goal line, to knock the ball out of Teddy Bridgewater's hands, force the fumble. Kevin King recovers, puts the ball back into the Panthers zone, and sets the Packers up for their game-winning touchdown. You know, how big of a game for especially just the defense's confidence as a team that hasn't had a lot of success this season was last night's win?
You know, it's a good question. If Chris Barnes doesn't make that play, you know, this game is really tight. I mean, that's a 14-point swing. So it's, you know, maybe the Panthers win. I don't know. I have a hard time praising the defense too much. I think they did what they had to do to win the game. And that's all that matters. But they were also facing a quarterback who made some really bad throws, who was pretty mediocre. He did do some damage running the ball. And he did move the ball. He did make some completions, but that was kind of concerning to me that they could not put pressure on him at all. It wasn't until the final series when they finally started getting some heat on him, and or maybe the last two series, I think it was. And it really should have been like that the entire game. I don't know why they had no run game to speak of. You know, well, I guess you can't. Yeah, without Bridgewater, you take Bridgewater out of there, and they had 99 or 89 yards on 23 carries. So that's nothing. I don't know why they couldn't get more pressure. Their left tackle was out, Russell Okung. That was kind of weird to me. And they blitzed. They had a decent amount of blitzing going on. So I kind of throw this one out. You know, yeah, I'll give them their pat for being okay in the red zone. But they have much bigger challenges ahead, and they got to figure out how to really stop someone. They need a signature performance, and this wasn't it. You can call it that because of the red zone, but it wasn't. Next week, if they can stop Derrick Henry, that's a signature performance.
Well, you look at Mike Davis last night, 14 carries for 59 yards, which is still more than he's averaged per game. I think he was averaging like 41 yards per game, 40 somewhere around there, low 40s. So still able to run the ball on this team a little bit. However, yes, they're looking at Derrick Henry this upcoming weekend, who's, or I suppose I have no idea what day it is. It is Sunday, the day that we're recording this. So yes, this upcoming weekend, not this weekend, no game on Sunday today. But yeah, they're looking at Derrick Henry next weekend, who's averaging, this mind-blowing, 117 rushing yards per game. Is that a human number? It's unbelievable. And how prepared are the Packers to go up against this guy?
I don't know. My instinct tells me that they're not. I do think they're better if they've got, I think they've played the run better with Chris Barnes playing. And I think they may have to go to Barnes and Kamal Martin a lot more against Tennessee, because Christian Kirksey's just not stout enough to handle Derrick Henry. And Kamal Martin may make some mistakes, but he makes them at 100 miles per hour. So nothing wrong with that. I don't know. I don't know if this is the kind of team that can really hurt them, because it could be like San Francisco last year, where this is their Achilles heel. They can't stop anybody. I do have some other concerns too. You know, Kevin King had a really tough game. He, you know, DJ Moore kind of worked him over. He looked like he was playing hurt to me. I don't know if you thought that, but when he couldn't return that fumble, I mean, he got caught pretty quickly. And then just some of the cuts and stuff, he looked to me like he's playing hurt. And either they got to figure out whether it's worth having him on the field hurt or whether they need to try someone else. And here's another thing. Why is Josh Jackson continually inactive?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially this week.
I just don't know.
He was out with the concussion for a little while, or at least what was considered the concussion. I think it was. He was on the injury report.
Yeah.
But this week he was off the injury report, didn't have an injury designation heading into Sunday or Saturday's game, and nothing. He was a healthy scratch, which is, I guess that's just the depth chart and perhaps the need to have the safeties up with Raymond Green on injured reserve.
I think that's probably part of it, that they needed Vernon Scott and Henry Black to be active, and maybe they're not happy with the way he's playing special teams. That could be part of it. But I do think they got to consider playing him. When he suffered the concussion, he was playing okay at corner, I thought. You know, maybe they need a rotation with King, but he just didn't look right to me.
Something to keep an eye on heading into this week. We'll see if he pops up on the injury report at all, but he's presumably been healthy the last couple of weeks after dealing with a few different things. Most recently, the Achilles injury that popped up.
Yeah. And then hasn't he had like a thigh? Did he have a groin injury in there too, maybe?
Possibly. Losing track. A lot of soft tissue injuries. Yeah.
Yeah. And Achilles is a bad injury. And if it's, I'm sure that it keeps popping back up on them. So anyway.
Well, speaking of special teams, Spoon, you mentioned some special teams. Let's little touch on, we have to, right? We have to at this point because it's significant. Mason Crosby makes a 51-yard field goal, the only points that the Packers scored in the second half. He gets, you know, consistent gold star. Good performance from Mason Crosby. But the Packers special teams, you know, I was speaking to Pete Doherty before the game on our pregame live show over on Facebook, Periscope, and YouTube. And he said that this Packers special teams needs to take the Hippocratic oath of do no harm. And I'd say for the most part last night, Packers special teams didn't do any harm. I don't think they did anything like mind blowing. They had an opportunity to make a tackle on I don't remember if it was a kick return or a punt return, but I think it must've been a punt return. I think J.K. Scott punted it to like the one. Yeah. And there was like a couple missed tackles. And I think the Panthers ended up with the ball at like the 20 or the 21.
Yeah. Farrell Cooper, for some reason, fielded the ball at the 1 yard line and they had him boxed in and they still let him out. I mean, that would have been big. In fact, I'm going to look right now. I can't remember whether they scored on that drive or not, but that was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, there was that. And then there was J.K. Scott's last punt of the game, and his punt was almost blocked. It was
Was that close? How did that guy not get that?
So close. It was whoever, I don't know who the player was, but the rusher coming off of Oren Burks' side, Burks just completely whiffed on the block. It had shades of Dexter Williams earlier in the season when J.K. Scott's punt was blocked earlier this season. It was reminiscent of that, and it was like a millisecond away from being a disaster for the Packers.
Yeah, if that had happened in the third quarter, that would have been a blocked punt, because that guy was being really careful not to interfere, because they were getting the ball back, and the last thing he wanted to do on his part, that was smart. But God, if that's any other time during the game, that's a blocked punt. That's totally a blocked punt. Incidentally, that play on the punt return, they did They drilled 76 yards for a field goal. So that made it, I think that was the last, no, it was, that's what made it 21-13.
Listen, special teams are a part of this defense. They really, and they're not helping. So yeah, they still need to get more. They need to find a way to get more out of these, the special team units. I don't know what that looks like.
Down to the, what, five or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. He had a 36-yard punt to pin the Panthers to their own five. Maybe, Spoon, if you have that up right now, how did that drive end?
Good question. That was, while I'm looking that up, you know, what's also kind of it struck me was that, you know, Mason Crosby is hot. I mean, he's like kicking as well as he's kicked all year. I mean, his leg is obviously rested because he didn't have to kick off during the year, and he hasn't had to kick a lot of field goals. They had to punt on that, by the way. And I'm sort of like, you know, they're probably like, oh God, he's got to carry this into the playoffs. This is when he needs to be kicking when they enter the playoffs. And so the last thing they need is like a five field goal game where he only hits three of them or something like that. You know, they need him to be kicking like this going into the playoffs.
Yeah. He's perfect on field goal attempts, I believe, this season, not on extra point attempts, but on field goal attempts. So that's, big for them. the last shred of brilliance on this Packers special teams unit. So we'll see if they can turn it around against the Titans. We'll see how this upcoming weekend goes. Is there anything else, Spoon, that we didn't touch on today that you wanted to add?
Just a couple of the injuries. So Jamal Williams, we'll wait and see. We'll check up on him, see where he's at. Chris Barnes had some kind of eye injury. I would imagine he got poked in the eye, and maybe, and I think you are saying that he's going to be okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been told that he's fine. So okay. Barnes is good to go.
He'll probably be wearing a shield next week.
Goggles.
But he's been a really nice addition, you know, for a rookie. What he does, he's really a smart, instinctive player. Will Redmond got hurt, concussion. Vernon Scott had to play some. I think he was the reason they had to call a timeout on, because they only had 10 men on the field. So he's got to clean that up a little bit. Was there anybody else? Oh, Gary and Za'Darius Smith.
Yep. Rashawn Gary and Za'Darius Smith came out briefly, and I believe they came back in and played some. So, you know, we'll see how they're doing. We speak with LaFleur later this afternoon. We'll let you know if there's any updates on the injury front, but I think that's it for us today, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com for all of your Packers coverage. Also, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We love chatting with all of you. We'll be back later this week to get you set for the Tennessee Titans game on Sunday Night Football. For Tom Silverstein, I'm Olivia Reiner. We'll see you next time.